Of Women and Salt is a sweeping, masterful novel about a daughter's fateful choice, a mother motivated by her own past, and a family legacy that begins in Cuba before either of them were born. This is Gabriela Garcia's debut novel. Of Women and Salt takes us from present-day Miami to a family detention center in Texas, to Mexico, and back to the 19th century cigar factories of Cuba. A haunting meditation on the choices that mothers make, the legacy of the memories they carry, and the tenacity of women who choose to tell their stories despite those who wish to silence them. This is more than a diaspora story. It is a story of America's most tangled, honest human roots. Gabriela Garcia's fiction and poetry has appeared in Best American Poetry, Tin House, and the Iowa Review. She received a master's in fine arts and fiction from Purdue and lives in the Bay Area. Of Women and Salt is her first novel, and here's our conversation. Of Women and Salt revolves around Carmen, a Cuban immigrant living in Miami, and her daughter Jeanette. They seem to have a very difficult relationship, though. Can you tell us more about them?
Yeah, so Carmen has, you know, like you said, a difficult relationship with her daughter. She's sort of starting to descend into addiction throughout the novel. And at different points, she's sort of deeper in her illness. And her mother really wants to save her daughter, but they also have this breakdown in communication. And Carmen is harboring certain secrets about her past, about her life in Cuba, that Jeanette doesn't have access to. So they really struggle to understand each other. Jeanette is also holding on to a secret. All of that sort of comes to a point in the book.
We learn in the novel that Jeanette has a cousin in Cuba who she's never met, Maydelis. They've been writing to each other. Jeanette travels there for a visit to meet her and their grandmother, Dolores, for the first time. But it seems that both Jeanette and Maydelis have expectations that are not met during this visit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you kind of talk to that? What's going on between these two women?
Yeah, so Maydelis and Jeanette have an interesting dynamic. It seems like neither of them really see the other. For Jeanette, I think she's having an experience that is common to children of immigrants, where she sort of, you know, she has this emotional connection to Cuba as the country of her mother, of her family, but she's never actually been there, and she sort of expects it to answer some questions about herself or to mean something particular to her when she's there, and that sort of bucks up against reality once she is there. And so you sort of see these two perspectives of each other, like her cousin sort of experiencing the ways that Jeanette is assigning meaning to what she's experiencing, and sometimes, you know, really naively in terms of how she sees Cuba. And then you also see Jeanette sort of looking at Maydelis and, you know, making assumptions about her. And they're just sort of seeing each other from these two very different perspectives.
Now, I want to jump around to some other of your characters. You've got such an array of interesting women in this novel. So let's talk a little bit about Gloria and her daughter, Anna. They are Jeanette's neighbors, and Gloria is picked up one day by ICE and put into a detention center. The conditions, as you describe them, are grim and dehumanizing. What went into being able to craft these scenes? Were you able to visit a detention center, or is this just information you picked up from people as you did research for this book?
Yes. So I have visited a family detention center, which is where that chapter takes place. Actually, before I started writing the book, before I sort of became a professional writer, I worked as an organizer for several years, including working for various migrant justice organizations, doing primarily like deportation defense work. So during that time, I did visit a couple of these family detention centers in Texas, and I did visit some of the women who were in detention. I was also, you know, talking to lawyers and other organizers. So a lot of that sort of comes in the writing. And when I was doing that work, it was, you know, it was during the Obama administration. It was several years back, which is when that chapter takes place. And, Yeah, at that point, it was just so hard to get any media attention on what was happening in these family detention centers. Whereas nowadays, you know, there's a lot more widespread knowledge of some of these human rights abuses. But yeah, at the time, it was hard to get any attention. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I thought was really interesting about Gloria and Anna is that they are finally sent to Mexico from that family detention center. But as Gloria points out, they're from El Salvador, not Mexico, and they aren't really able to get, nor does she really seem to want to go back to her country. There's this perception that I think anyone crossing the Mexican border is Mexican. Mm-hmm. How does this loss of identity affect Gloria and Anna?
Yeah. And I actually base that on, you know, some of the cases that I worked on where this happened, you know, Central American refugees who were deported back to Mexico. And you're right. I think there's a flattening of how we understand immigration, of how we understand Latinidad. There is this sort of conversation around immigration as if it's an issue of Mexican immigrants, but deportation rates and detention rates are actually highest for Haitian immigrants right now, followed by mostly Central American refugees from the triangle countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. So, you know, part of what happens when we talk about the immigrant experience is that we flatten, you know, all of these different experiences. Like, I don't think there is one immigrant experience. I think so much of it is based on race and class. And the book sort of goes into that too. Like, you see a huge difference between the way the Cuban family is able to be sort of welcomed into the US very easily versus her neighbors from El Salvador who face these issues with detention and deportation. So, you know, I think there are many immigrant experiences. I don't believe in the idea of one immigrant experience.
I'm talking with writer Gabriela Garcia. Her new debut novel is called Of Women and Salt. It's about the legacy mothers pass on to their daughters, how the secrets they keep and the choices they make affect the lives of each generation. The stories of the women in this book are heartbreaking, but their resilience is inspiring. Here's more of our conversation. So I love how you weave this thread of ancestry throughout the novel, going back to Jeanette's great-great-grandmother in Cuba in 1866, and then touching on the lives of various daughters throughout. What were you hoping to reveal by giving us these glimpses into these different women's lives?
Yeah, I was very interested in the forces that shape these women. Some of them are, you know, historical forces or family forces that they understand, that they can see stories they've been told or stories they told themselves about who they are, but also by all of what they can't see, you know, how all of the stories, all of these historical forces, all of these stories that they don't know also end up shaping them, also end up shaping the choices that they make. And I sort of wanted to explore how we are just as much the story we tell ourselves about ourselves as the stories we don't know. And so that's sort of what I was thinking about and how all of these stories interact with each other, even when the characters are not privy to them.
So much of Women and Salt is about mothers and daughters. Do you mind if I ask, what is your relationship with your mother like?
Yeah, so, I mean, the book is, you know, there are threads of me, of course, in everything that I write, but it's not autobiographical. And I have a very strong relationship with my mother. We talk like every single day. She loves the book. She's read it. She's hugely into it. But yeah, I mean, I think there hit a point in my life coming out of childhood where I actually realized that my mother exists as a whole entire woman beyond the fact of being my mother, you know? And I think we all sort of reach that point as children. We sort of, the whole entire universe revolves around us and we understand these people in relation to ourselves. And then you get older and you realize there's this whole world that you don't have access to. And so I think I was thinking about that too, you know, when I was writing this book about mothers and daughters.
Of Women in Salt has been named a Good Morning America Book Club pick, an Indie Next Great Read, June Book of the Month for Roxane Gay's Audacious Book Club, and a bunch of other lists. Most anticipated book for Entertainment Weekly, E! News, Goodreads, Oprah Magazine, New York Times. This is your debut work. How are you feeling about all this buzz?
This is wild. Yeah, I'm so, so grateful that so many people have connected with the book. You know, I'm getting used to the attention. I think I'm a pretty sort of private person, very introverted. I don't like attention. So it's, you know, I feel like I'm getting used to the idea that, you know, so many people are tuned into what I have to say. And, you know, I think I need like a very quiet space in my mind in order to write. And so I think I'm starting to learn how to like separate the public facing part from the sort of more internal writerly work that I do. But I'm just enormously grateful that so many people have connected with the book, have made their own connections, have shared the book with other people, have been so excited about it. Like, it's just, you know, it's what every writer hopes for when they put pen to paper.
That's writer Gabriela Garcia. I highly recommend her new debut novel, Of Women and Salt. It's What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski.